Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm John Purcell. And we're sitting across from Canna Campbell, who's come and talk about $1,000 Project. Welcome, Canna.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm with Sarah. Sorry, I forgot.
Thanks for that great introduction, John.
Sarah McDooling is with me
also
right here.
Also here, me.
Oh, yes, that's horrendous. I'm just going to be quiet for a bit. Sarah, go ahead.
Canna, can you tell us about the $1,000 Project, and can you please, if it's not too much trouble, fix my finances? Just while you're
I'm
here.
I'm happy to help you fix your finances. So the $1,000 Project was, I guess, a mini challenge that I created for myself, and it came from two reasons. One being, I wanted people to sort of really acknowledge that we all have opportunities to create savings and earn extra money, and we're not sort of defined by the limitations of our salary. And then I also really wanted to inspire and educate people around the importance of investing, particularly building up long-term passive income streams. And I thought to myself, well, the best way to inspire people and to tell them how to do it is to actually do it myself physically. And I thought, well, the best way is to make yourself completely accountable. So I put it on my YouTube channel, Sugar Mama TV, and told everyone what I was going to do and set about doing it. And basically, all you do is just don't worry about anything else. Just worry about saving or finding ways to earn extra money. And when you have $1,000, you then take that $1,000 and you do something with it that's, you know, for your financial future. So whether it be paying off credit card debt, paying off a HEX student debt, or, you know, putting some money into super, or maybe building up some emergency money, or even to go and put towards a holiday. It doesn't matter, it's your choice, but you're actually proactively and consciously, you know, finding ways of saving money and just being a lot more conscious and mindful in the way that you spend money.
Did you choose $1,000 because it seemed attainable?
Absolutely. That was the whole point about it is, you know, in my mind, I was like, okay, well, $1,000 to me is still a lot of money. But it's, you know, I thought, you know what, I could actually just focus, it's achievable. And the thing is, it kept me motivated because I could slowly see myself getting to closer and closer to $1,000. And that feeling of progress, I think, really fuels motivation. And when you've got that motivation, you tick that box, you've got that $1,000, you start to build a commitment and dedication to keep going.
Because people talk about their getting a deposit, and deposits are quite big.
Yeah.
And it does seem like, oh,
long time.
Never going to get there.
I saved for 6 years to buy my first place. Like, it was torturously slow and incredibly boring. But the great thing about, you know, and I talk about this in the book, is you don't have to be like, you know, you don't have to prescribe to the dream of buying a property. There are so, if you want to become wealthy, there are so many other options out there. And often when I talk to people, you know, they say, yeah, I want to buy a property. I'm like, okay, great. Why? And they sort of look at me dumbfounded and they're like, well,
because you have to,
because
right?
you have to. I mean, like, I've been told, everyone's been telling me I should have done ages ago. Like, I waste all this money and I've been silly and, you know, it's just time, you know, it's what you do. And I'm like, no, it's not. What do you want to do? And that just like changes things. And then I find like, and so many, like, I've got clients who say to me, I'm so glad you talked me out of that. Like, I'm loving what we're doing now. And when people try and tell me that I should be doing this, I tell them what I'm doing instead. And, you know, they're so like this, like enlightenment and like glow on their face because they realize that they don't have to prescribe to society's goals.
I love this because the pressure to buy property is huge.
Huge
and
so
I'm far away from being able to afford to do it.
You don't
so
have
what's
to do
a,
it.
Yeah, what's an alternative? Like, what do you do with your money if you don't buy a house?
Okay. Like, yeah, it comes down to really like, what do you feel comfortable doing? How much time do you have? You know, like what I call your risk profile is in the book, you know, and what are your financial goals? So for me, you know, I'm really passionate about building up passive income streams. And people who don't know what passive income is, it's essentially money that you earn whilst you sleep at night. So instead of earning, like going to work and getting a suit on and sitting in front of a computer screen or whatever you do for work, it's your money working for you. So for example, earning interest off a bank account, my favorite, which is dividends from shares, rent from an investment property, even royalties from books, you know, they're all passive income streams. So, you know, you can, if you wanted to, start and build up an investment portfolio through managed funds, through ETFs, through direct shares, listed investment companies. It's really easy, and you can start with as little as $500. So you can do a $500 project if you don't want to do a $1,000 project. Like, you make your own rules.
That
seems
more doable.
Shares terrify me. It always seems like you have to know so much and keep an eye on it, and they're up and down, and they're risky. Whoa.
No, not at all. Like, if in the book I talk about this in detail, but, you know, my philosophy is I always stick to predominantly blue chip industrial stocks. But I do also use, you know, exchange traded funds, which is basically all those investment decisions are outsourced to a professional as well as listed investment companies. When you invest in shares, you invest for the long run. I say at least 10 years. And there is so much volatility, but it doesn't, just because it's volatile, doesn't mean the value has changed. A classic example or analogy that I like to use is, say I found a 2-carat diamond in the street. And I pick it up and go, wow. And, you know, I'd walk around trying to sell that 2-carat diamond. And someone off, the only person who wants to, is interested in from buying me, offers me $500. That does not mean that two carat diamond is worth $500. It just means that person's prepared to pay it. That 2-carat diamond may be worth $10,000, who knows? But its shares work the same. Just because it happens to be trading at a certain value between a buyer and a seller doesn't necessarily mean it's valued at that. And there is, you know, you just pick up the newspaper, and a lot of my share tips I have picked up from, you know, reading The Fin or The Australian or, you know, the Business Insider, like reading, looking what's going on, and also getting a gut feel. You know, when you walk into, like, probably when you walked in maybe Apple, the first time everybody went, wow, this business is going to be big. Like,
yeah.
That was your intuition saying that could have been potentially an investment opportunity for you. So, you know, we all see, you know, things that are thriving go, yep, that business is going to do well or that person's going to do well. You know, be a part owner of that excitement and that action. And that's essentially what shares are. And you always diversify. You never put them all in one basket. But the big thing is you've got to educate yourself. You're only fearful of shares because you don't understand them. But I can guarantee if I sat down with you and spoke to you about it, you'd start going, uh-huh, okay, so this isn't that scary.
I also read a lot of novels where people lose all their money because they put in the wrong shares.
Well, it's always good to diversify. Like, companies have been around for a long time, consistently pay dividends. Ideally, like, pay fully franked dividends because they come with tax credits. And, you know, blue chip companies like industrials, goods and services. And, you know, my portfolio, I just did a video about this, is a lot of defensive stocks. So things, no matter, the world's falling apart, we're still going to need bread, butter and milk. We're still going to have to go to the bank. We're still going to need transport. You know, the basic elementary, like, needs will still be maintained.
Do you think we're getting better at all this stuff? I mean, it seems to me that every year there seems to be more information about the finance side of our lives freely available, more space given to it in the media.
Mm.
Do you think we're actually getting better at understanding our own finances or not?
Absolutely. I think people are starting to realise that, you know, we work so hard, and just like it's, I think it's all encompassed in the whole, you know, wellness. It's not just financial wellness, it's intellectual wellness, spiritual wellness and financial wellness. So, you know, it's all part of, I think, a big pillar system where we're all seeking something that helps us grow and become smarter and wiser. And, you know, financial freedom is very valuable in that it allows you to decide how you want to use your time. So if you want to spend your time doing charity work, you want to spend your time raising children, you want to spend your time traveling the world, that's what financial freedom does. So people, there's definitely a huge thirst and hunger for this, but people want to be inspired and motivated, and they want to be able to understand it so they can actually go out and do it, and they're not kind of analysis paralysis where they think, what do I do? I don't understand, and then do nothing.
Analysis paralysis is a pretty good way of putting it.
Yeah, that's what I feel when
I feel, look, if so you're talking to someone now who's just a financial ignoramus.
Okay.
I pretty much living paycheck to paycheck at the moment.
Okay,
no,
it's all right.
Nothing, no, I don't own a property, don't have a large amount of savings. So if you're starting from absolutely, like, I'm scratch, right?
Okay.
What would be your first advice to someone who wants to start, you know, being an adult and having, right, like, proper savings and buying things?
Okay. First of all, I want to fix your money mindset. You can't talk about yourself like that. Like, you know, lessons come to us in life when you're ready to receive them.
Hmm.
So I'm sure if I was to ask you where that money's gone, you've done lots of great things and had lots of beautiful moments with that. So make peace.
A lot of online shopping came out.
That's okay. That's all right. Like, we're all searching. I like nice things. I like to shop. Like, there's nothing. You need to be dressed. It's okay. It's all right.
You have to have clothes.
You do. Yeah. You do. And
do
you
have to
look good about
yourself.
The
amount of books I buy, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not.
But it's all about balance. You know, if you want to go and buy yourself a new cardigan, that's okay, because you've put some money aside for emergency money, and you've put some money aside to invest for the future, or you put a little bit of money extra into your superannuation. It's about balance. Like, it's okay. Like, people think money and personal finances is like you know, big bad budgeting bitch. It's not. It's like you're just giving yourself boundaries to work within, so you've got something left over that you can do something for yourself, and you're not living, you know, not, well, paycheck to paycheck is at least it's not like credit card debt to credit card debt, which is what a lot of people out there have. So to start from scratch, like, do you have debt?
I have a little bit of debt.
All right, so you need to focus on paying that off as quickly as possible. So my tip is do a budget. I created a budgeting app called Sugar Budget, which you can get from the iTunes store. And you basically put it in all your living expenses, and it gives you banking instructions as to how to transfer money to different accounts so that you've always got money set aside. So you've got enough money to get through the fortnight or month or whatever cycle you get paid on. And then you've got a, I call a life account, which is where you put money aside for like clothes, like any sort of electricity bills or gas bills, you know, those quarterly bills that we conveniently forget about until we open our mail. And then you have like just two other option accounts, which is a saving account for the future and then an investment account. So focus for the time being, it's like building a house. You, to build realistic long-term financial security, you want a rock-solid foundation so you can build a solid house, because there will be storms, there'll be winds, there'll be fires, there'll be rain, hail, everything. You want your house to be still be standing strong. Yes, there will be some damage to your house, but at least it's easily fixed, it's quickly fixed, it's not too expensive. So that's the way you want to look at your finances. So for you, it means starting off with no debt. So I would do a budget, work out what you can reduce from the budget or completely cut out, and use those savings to actively and regularly put money towards paying off that, I'm assuming it's like credit card debt or something. Yeah, pay that off. The moment you've done that, cut the card up, don't have a credit card, or if you have one, keep it in your freezer so it's only for emergencies. Like,
I have done that.
Okay, yeah, good.
You might be in there at the moment.
Oh, really? Good. It can stay there until it's paid off. And then do the same thing, but now build up savings. And there's something when I do this with clients, like they, when they finally pay off their credit card debt and they see their savings build up, they become like so terrified of credit cards and so protective of their savings. They're like, because it makes them feel so secure. It gives them such comfort and peace of mind. So when you've built up some savings and you've got enough, you know, to get you out of any sort of major emergency, you know, and that might be, that amount is different for everyone. So you might think, okay, well, I've like $5,000 in emergency money to know that something happens. I've got, you know, 2 months worth of living expenses or whatever it might be. You need to work that number out. And then from then, you can start looking at it in building passive income streams. So do a risk profile, work out like what is the best style of portfolio for you, like the asset allocation, which, and I talk about all of this in the book, as to how to do it and where great places to go for more information about doing this. You can then start, you know, regularly building up, you know, say $1,000, and decide, okay, well, I want to invest that $1,000. You might find a managed fund, or, you know, a great place to start is something like an ETF, exchange traded fund, which is like a, it's like a, I guess, a pre-packed basket of groceries ready for you to just grab and go. And there are, you know, hundreds of different ETFs out there, but, and there's lots of information out there on the websites to tell you which one's best for you. But that's a great place to start. And you buy an ETF on the Australian Stock Exchange, like you buy normal shares, and then keep, every time you just keep on repeating the same process, so it becomes a ritual or a routine or a habit system, where every time you've got, you know, some extra money saved up that you don't need, you've already got enough money in emergency money, you've got enough money to, for your, saved up for your holiday or whatever it might be, you put that money aside and you actively invest it for the long run. Reinvest all the dividends if you can live comfortably off your salary. Reinvest all the dividends, continue to contribute, and make sure you've invested into a diversified portfolio that matches your risk profile, but ideally grows over time. So you want a mix of sort of what we call, I guess, growth and income, you know, designed investments. So a mixture of shares, a mixture of property, international shares, and then things like fixed interest and cash if that's what you want.
This sounds amazing.
It's, I mean, the great thing, of, I mean, flicking through the book, is how clear it all is. This is the killer for me. It's because when I talk to the accounts people up here, I'm pretty much already getting on the floor and starting to fall asleep.
But I'm ecstatic. Yeah, people start talking about it and I'm like, shh.
You seem to you have a creative edge to you, which allows you to explain it in a way which people like Sarah and I can kind of get. Because
I otherwise
we just don't, yeah, we just don't hear it. We're absolutely hopeless.
I still think it would take me a long while, but it seems doable when you break it up into like little sections that are manageable.
And the thing is, you don't need to wait until you understand it. You can start slowly educating yourself around investing now whilst you're paying off your credit card debt and whilst you're building up your savings. So don't waste any time. Like, get onto this today. Like, it's...
You don't have to be Warren Buffett to go into it.
Absolutely not. Like,
and the idea that you can live your life and not have a credit card and not have a mortgage seems really great to me. It just feels like these are necessary things that you just have in life.
I want to go back to those people you talked about who have managed to get free.
Mm-hmm.
Do people actually do it? I mean, you look at Gates and Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett and all these people, and Murdoch in his 80s still working away. Like, is there a point where people go, that's enough money, I'm done, and they go live a life and they do things, or is it generally they get to make better choices about what they do later on?
I would say predominantly those people have such a huge passion and energy for life. You know, they retire for like a week and before they know it, they've set up another startup business or another company, because it's, you know, it's not work for them. It's, they're just so passionate that just because they've hit a certain age where society tells you you have to, you know, go fishing and play golf all day. No, they've got like new dreams, new inspiration, new aspirations. So it does keep going. That's why Warren Buffett still works today and does the same routine every day. But it's fun. Like, you know, the thing about this for me is I'm very much on this path as well. I'm not sitting there telling people on my high seat saying, do this, do that. I'm actually doing it myself. Like, I have my own personal portfolio. You know, I've been investing for a long time. I've had to, you know, make changes and adjust things and work with my situation. But I've never stopped believing it and believing in the journey. And I'm on that path. And the great thing is, because I'm on that path, I can hold people's hands and guide them and tell them it's okay, you're doing the right thing. You know, you just need to do this now or that now. And I understand the emotions that come with investing and you know, stepping up to take control of your financial goals and your financial future. It's a good thing, you know, to do this. It's something you should feel empowered about and proud of.
That money anxiety, has that gone from, in the essence, from your life? That sense of that debt hanging around and if I quit my job, I won't be able to get through the next few weeks and I'll better just stay here, even though I'm not very happy with my job. You know, that kind of thing. Does that work? When you cross over the other side of your world, does some of that anxiety disappear?
Well, I have a mortgage. And I am working really hard at paying that off. I hate debt. But I understand a home for me is a lifestyle choice, and it was a choice that I made for me and my son, you know, to have that sort of stability. And the way I look at it is I'm doing the best I can do. I'm being responsible with my money. I'm not, I've got a good balance, and I can see my mortgage is coming down. I'm seeing the progress. And that's all you really need is progress, because no matter how big or how small that step is, as long as it's in the right direction, that's all that really matters. And, you know, I've got quite balanced, you know, I enjoy nice things, but then I also prioritize my responsibilities, you know, before, you know, spending or splurging on things. But with anxiety, it's such a big word with so many different, levels. And I'm someone who does suffer from anxiety, like, and I always say, like, there's a couple of things I do, like I write down what I'm anxious about. And seeing it written down on paper, you kind of get perspective again and go, all right, that's not so bad, I can do this. And then action trumps anxiety. It's like if I'm feeling anxious because I've eaten something really unhealthy that's not good for my body, well, all right, feeling bad, okay, accept it, it's all right, make peace with it, then go for a walk and get out into the fresh air, or go for a run, or make yourself a really healthy meal for dinner. So, you know, like trump the anxiety that you're feeling or the uneasiness with responsible action that comes from a place of self-love.
It's wonderful advice. We
can just feel really galvanized.
But I also still feel very selfish. I'm going to sit here and just keep asking you advice.
We're
going to wind this up because it's not all about Sarah and I. it's about your book. The $1,000 project is available at Booktopia now, and I think everyone should get hold of this because that was brilliant. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
We've all galvanized. We're gonna do something.
I do. I feel really like I feel galvanized. Usually I just, I'm an ostrich head in the sand about my finance, but you're right, facing it full on and just looking at the problem.
I hear that all the time, all the time. And the thing is, like, you've got to just stop and go, you know what? Like, you've got to get a, draw a line in the sand and go, I'm going to do this. And if I promise you it's not hard, it's so easy. When you stop and go, you know what? I'm sick of living like this. I'm sick of feeling these feelings. Mm. And if you're really honest with yourself, there's a lot of toxic energy that comes from being irresponsible with money, like guilt, remorse, embarrassment, shame. Like, it's
a total
you don't want to, like, carry that around with you. It's okay that you've done in the past. I can, trust me, I have blowouts and do certain things. Normal, like, but you've got to catch them quickly and go, all right, that was a bit of a fail, but you know what? I deserve better. I'm going to do this. And, you know, you work out a habit system is so you don't even need to think about it, you just do it. And, you know, I did the $1,000 project. I've done it 2 rounds. And so a total of 68,000 was invested. And when I stopped, I was like, oh, thank goodness I have a break. 2 weeks later, I was like, I'm missing this feeling of not having this, you know, to
the project.
Focus on $1,000. Yeah. Like, it was such a, it was also emotionally incredibly good for me because I started the $1,000 project off the back of a pretty nasty separation. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I didn't have not any money myself to invest or save. Like, I was on such a tight budget. And I remember my ex-husband saying to me, you're going to drown. You're going to drown in debt. You've just, and I paid the check to get out. So he's like, you took on all this debt to get me out? Like, you're not going to survive because you can't even bring the bins down at night to put on the street. And, like, he was true. Like, I could have gone either way. And it's like, well, I can't afford, like, I don't have to spend money to invest right now. My investing put on hold after my separation. So I was like, this is good. This will make me invest as well. Like, this, you know, I'm doing this. I'm actually doing it in a emotionally, and I guess not financially stable, emotionally unstable, but I was in quite a financially fragile state. Mm. So, you know, it was a great emotional, emotionally healing project to do as well. Like, when I was, each time I got $1,000, I was like, wow, I did it. I did it again and again, and this is happening, and I'm putting it out there, and this is going to help other people. And, you know, and I take those bins out every Sunday night and I bang them, no matter how heavy they are, down the steps. And people stop and go, do you want a hand? I'm like, no, I got this.
I have it. Yeah, that
brilliant.
Is awesome.
That's very inspirational. Thank you very much for coming in and talking about the $1,000 project.
Okay, thank you for having me.
And you can get the Canna Campbell's book, $1,000 Project, at booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.